Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Scott Amey, who is the General Counsel at the Project on Government Oversight, where he directs contract oversight investigations and testifies before Congress and federal agency panels on issues of federal spending on goods and services, the responsibility of top federal contractors, and conflicts of interest and ethics concerns that have led to questionable contract awards. Welcome to Background Briefing, Scott Amey.
Well, thank you.
And the president has promised to do a tech surge to overcome the problems with the launching of the Affordable Care Act via the website healthcare.gov that has obviously had problems. My understanding is that many of these problems basically can be identified in the fact that the whole system has been put together by a bunch of contractors developing different aspects of the system, and perhaps there's been some lack of compatibility between the various components in this team of contractors. So is this again a situation where we're looking at private contractors and outsourced government services?
Well, I think so. I mean, through the years, we have seen a lot of outsourcing. Specifically, we've seen service contracts now outnumber the amount that we spend actually on goods in the federal government. We're spending close to 60% of our dollars on labor hours and bringing in management services, IT services into the federal government. So it is something. I mean, IT isn't going away in the near future, and so the federal government has to decide whether it just wants to rely on the contractors for these types of services, or if it can bring in an in-house capability that can do this itself. But one of the things that we have to ask is, why do we do so much outsourcing? I mean, it's been kind of sold as an agenda item of cutting large government and the size of the federal government. But all we've really done is supplement a workforce that used to be public servants with contractors. And that's where, we spend over $500 billion a year on goods and services, and over $300 billion of that is on services. So all we've really done is shift one workforce from one category to the other with a lot less accountability.
Well, apparently the government is becoming more and more dependent upon these contractors, and they're relying on a shrinking list of these preferred contractors, particularly in the IT world. So is that a part of the problem with healthcare.gov?
Well, there are many problems with healthcare.gov. I mean, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of answers. I mean, there was a very quick turnaround time to get this website up and running, and obviously the scope of work is very expansive on what they've been asking this website to do, both in quantity and also the services that it was going to provide. You worry about, were there changes made by HHS and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid in making changes to what they were asking this website and what the contractors were providing. But then you also worry about technical bugs. I mean, are there problems with the software that's been created and how the site is working? And so we just don't have the answers. Unfortunately, the administration and HHS haven't come forward with answers to some of these questions. And the contractors, I think, are at a point where they're just trying to fix the bugs in the system and get it operating effectively. And so they're not really answering a lot of questions either.
Well, apparently they're going to have to answer some questions before the Congress on Thursday. Three of the main contractors responsible for the healthcare.gov website, CGI, Serco, and Equifax, will be testifying on Thursday.
That's correct. And there's some, basic, questions that should probably be asked. And that is, questions about what was originally asked, what the original budget was for, and then, why all the escalations? Just in taking a look at CGI's contract, even in their own press release, they expected that the total value of the contract would be $93.7 million, and they've already received $196 million, and that contract has a ceiling price of nearly $300 million. So at that point, I think some people need to answer some questions about, you know, why the dramatic increase in spending on this website. And you know, at that point, I would even maybe be asking some of the officials over at Health and Human Services on whether they're going to, once they get the website corrected and it working properly, are they going to be seeking any recruitment of money on this contract? Because it seems as if the federal government is bringing in some experts to try to fix the technology glitches.
Again, I'm speaking with Scott Amey, who is the general counsel at the Project on Government Oversight, where he directs contract oversight investigations and testifies before Congress and federal agency panels on issues of federal spending on goods and services, the responsibility of top federal contractors, and conflicts of interest and ethics concerns that have led to questionable contract awards. Now, in terms of CGI getting this contract, and you pointed out they've already tripled the amount of money from the $91 million original bid that they put in. They're already tripling it, and they have an even higher ceiling. They are a Canadian company, and I understand that there were problems in Canada with some of their work. So how does the government, or how does, you know, who chooses these people, and do they do their due diligence in looking at their past records?
Well, you raise a great point, and that is the government does, by law, is only supposed to award contracts to responsible contractors, and they're supposed to go through a vetting process. You know, sometimes at POGO we question the amount of vetting that takes place and whether these contractors, especially ones with patterns of misconduct, are truly responsible and should receive federal taxpayer dollars. But CGI is probably one that didn't pop up on the radar. You know, and in a lot of these instances, the contracting officers that award these contracts get to look at previous problems with maybe federal contracts or contracts that they have had terminated, or that where they have been held accountable via a suspension or debarment process. But for the most part, they don't get to see activities at the local or state level, or certainly the international level. So I would imagine in taking a look at the basic information that's publicly available, that CGI probably came through the vetting process with a clean record. And they also did, they had to bid against other contractors. So at that point, someone inside the government thought that they were, one, responsible, and two, technically capable of performing this performing on this contract. And that's why they were selected. It's only now, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It's easy to sit back and play Monday morning quarterback. But for the most part, I didn't really see anything that would raise a red flag about CGI, other than truly the dramatic cost increase that we're seeing and the fact that we still have a product that's not working.
Well, it seems, though, that there's a history and a pattern here in terms of contractors for government services that were previously done by government employees. And in particularly, we became aware of this with the military, with Halliburton's contracts, particularly given if the former CEO was the vice president of the United States, Dick Cheney. And they got enormous contracts in Iraq and Afghanistan to this day. And you know, at times, the army or the military auditors basically gave up. I mean, why is it that you start out with a low bid and end up tripling it in the case of CGI for this botched work on healthcare.gov? Is this just an accepted pattern? You just come in, and then once you're in the door, you know, it's the old nose of the camel deal, right?
Well, you're raising very good points. And I mean, we've seen it in the past with especially complex weapon systems that, you know, they're always over budget and behind schedule. Now we're starting to see it in certain examples with IT projects. Not all, but, you know, it does raise red flags on, yeah, does a contractor come in? We termed used the term a few years ago called the politics of contracting, that, you know, do you hire a lobbying team, and do you have, you know, different people and campaign contributions that are going that, you know, help, you know, you receive a federal government contract? Are you connected? You know, different things. But, you know, you hope that at the end of the day that the government is making decisions that are in the best interest of taxpayers and not for the best interest of maybe a former government employee that went through the revolving door, or someone that's thinking about going through the revolving door, or for the company itself. And you know, but there are always questions raised. Even in this instance, there's been some issues raised with campaign contributions, with lobbying, the amount of access that they had to the White House in and about the time that this award was made. And so, and also that they've hired some or had consultants on the payroll that were former senior government officials. And so it's instances like that that really cause, I think, the public to think that there's not integrity in the system and that the system is based on, you know, backroom deals or cozy relationships. And that's unfortunately, because I think that really degrades, you know, our feelings about democracy and about how our government works.
Well, subsequent to the revelations about military contractors like Halliburton just writing blank checks and doing stuff that the military used to do, now, more recently, we've discovered that something like 70 to 80% of all of the money that goes into our vast intelligence budget goes to private entities. And, of course, Booz Allen Hamilton came to light because of Edward Snowden, who was working for this contractor. And it turns out that they get 98% of their money from the federal government. Also, in this mania of privatization, you have the same thing in the education department with these for-profit colleges. And they're able to advertise with our tax dollars on television to encourage kids and vets to join up and get these worthless diplomas and get deeply into debt by these companies basically taking federal dollars and then charging them back at high interest rates. So it's right across the board. And what I find extraordinary is that how does the government get away, or how do we allow, as taxpayers, allow this abuse of the Treasury from companies that have no history of providing any services whatsoever, but just simply pop up out of nowhere and are sole source contracts for the government? They have no other businesses. In other words, if you would have gone to Silicon Valley with some real high-tech talent, I bet you this healthcare.gov thing wouldn't have half the problems it has, because these companies are involved in working on other contracts and they're really truly competitive. But when you have these sole source contractors who came out of nowhere, just hung up a shingle and suddenly have got a government contract and they've never done any business for anybody else, doesn't that raise a flag?
Well, your question had many questions inside of it, but I'll try to handle them as
quickly. Yeah, do, because I'm just on a bit of a rant here, because I find,
well, no,
I find this whole thing so disgusting,
of,
you know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in the United States are, and there's a few different issues, and one is responsibility. Part of the responsibility determination that the government makes includes past performance, includes their ability to be able to, you know, to work on these projects, to get bonded, to be able to do the work, have the technical capabilities or access to take technical capabilities to do the work. And unfortunately, I don't think we're seeing some of that work done. And that's mainly because we're handing money over hand over fist to contractors. And there's an over-reliance on contractors that I think the people inside of the federal government need to get their hands around and start to ask the question, is should this be performed by someone in the military? Should this be performed by a civilian public servant? Or should this be performed by contractors? Unfortunately, we've operated under the opinion that contracting out is both cheaper, more brings in more innovation, and also allows the government to do the things it really needs to do, and we can rely on the private sector to do these other things. And unfortunately, that hasn't always been true. You named a few agencies, but the Department of Energy is nearly 100% outsourced to the private sector. I mean, everyone that runs the weapons labs and our DOE facilities around the country mostly are federal government contractors. Then this next issue you raise about sole source contracting, obviously, any time that we do something with sole source, no bid, or that's even limited competition, that's bad for the taxpayer. I mean, any time that you bring more people to the table and have more vendors to choose from, that's going to help drive a healthier competition. And generally, studies have shown it generally drives better performance as well. And so that's an issue. And then cost. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, this project has gone from about $94 million up to $196 million. And at the end of the day, there's real questions about why did cost increase and where's the federal government in holding that contractor accountable. if a roofer walked into my house and said, I'm going to charge you $5,000 to put on a roof, and at the end of the day he comes back to collect a check for $10,000, and then that night that it rains and my roof is leaking, you sure as heck better bet that, you know, we wouldn't operate in our normal lives the way the federal government is. And that's where we have to get back to a sense of this is taxpayer dollars and it needs to be protected, and that we just can't allow the contractors to kind of get us actually bent over a barrel or to a point of no return, that we need to just continue to throw more money at the problem rather than placing a burden for the contractor to accept responsibility for doing a bad job rather than just asking for more money to fix it. And unfortunately, inside the federal government, we seem to throw money at the problem rather than asking for the accountable fix on the contractor's dime. And that's where we're wasting a lot of money.
Well, already this has had a profound effect on people's perceptions of the Affordable Care Act, or so-called Obamacare. The Washington Post ABC poll released Monday shows that 56% of those questioned say the website's failures are a sign of broader problems to come, which doesn't bode well. Now, the president has come up with this tech surge, but that would seem to me that the tech surge, given the surge in Iraq and the surge in Afghanistan, hardly good harbingers. But isn't it, just in the last minute here, isn't it true that the tech surge is going to involve spending more money on outside contractors to look over the work of other outside contractors?
Well, until the federal government decides that they can hire and retain this type of capability in-house, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, it hasn't been a priority for the government. I think there's been efforts to reduce the size of the public workforce inside the federal government, and it has been also a driving force between, well, let's hire more contractors. And at that point, nobody's really questioned the myth on whether contractors are actually performing better and cheaper than if we hired federal government employees. And POGO's been, put out a report on this specific issue. It was called Bad Business, Billions Wasted on Hiring Service Contractors. And at that point, we've actually pushed this agenda, and we're actually even seeing it now within the Department of Defense, that a lot of times they're not even running a proper cost methodology and cost analysis to even determine what is the best and most cost-efficient workforce. And that's problematic. I mean, we're spending over $300 billion a year on service contracts, and that's just hiring labor. I mean, that's bringing people into government facilities, using government equipment, government computers, at government desks. And too often we hear of a federal government employee that retires one day and then comes back to work the next week as a contractor. And we need to start asking a question about whether, what is the best and the best workforce to use for these types of cases, and restoring the capabilities for the government to do some things by itself rather than always relying on the public sector for different types of acquisition solutions.
Well, Scott Amey, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you, Ian. Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Scott Amey, who is the general counsel at the Project on Government Oversight, where he directs contract oversight investigations and testifies before Congress and federal agency panels on issues of federal spending on goods and services, the responsibility of top federal contractors, and conflicts of interest and ethics concerns that have led to questionable contract awards. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the Benghazi hoax.